As it is Trinity Sunday, I tried to get Deacon Dan to preach because he likes to talk about the Holy Trinity. And I didn't do that very well. I'll try. I'll work on that. And he declined to preach. Do you know why? It's because he is afraid of speaking a heresy, because you can't preach on the Trinity for more than 10 minutes without at least two heresies, because it's just so hard to preach about. It was either that or the fact that I asked him 2 days before the homily. I don't know. So on Trinity Sunday, I will strive for the appropriate level of nerdiness with you this morning. Not too much, not too little. Because when we talk about the Trinity, we are talking about a great mystery. Not something we can fully comprehend, but something that we can say. It's not that we can't say anything about God. And we can use analogies, which will all fall short. But just to I guess, preface the homily or to just give the intro, the last couple of weeks, this, I think we've had this gospel or the last part of Mark's gospel and the last part of Matthew's gospel. We've been hearing the Great Commission for like 3 weeks in a row now, it feels like, with the ascension and then with the sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And now we hear Jesus saying, go into all the world, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. This is our mission, right? We have one mission, many tasks, many gifts, many needs, but one mission. And it's all about making disciples, being disciples and making disciples of Jesus. And then baptizing them. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, which literally means, like, you know, pour water on people's heads or dunk like a whole bunch of water on them, immerse them. Our Easter Vigil baptismal font was ice cold and freezing cold, and I just dumped pitchers of ice cold water on people. Sorry about that. And that's the beginning. It's not the end of anything, but it's the beginning of something very profound. And we don't want to see it as, oh, I've entered into, because when I was baptized as a baby, or I was four when I was baptized, most of you were probably infants, some of you were adults. Oh, when I was baptized, I entered into this club, this group called the Catholic Church. Okay, we're not a club, but that's, I mean, it's true, you become Catholic, but Jesus is inviting us into the life of the Trinity. We're baptized. We're invited into the inner life of the Trinity, to a relationship with a God who is three in one. And if I could say it like this, God does not want to be in your life. He does not want to be in your life whatsoever. And you should not want God to be in your life. Rather, he's inviting you to enter into his life. He's inviting me to enter into his life. Into the inner life of the Trinity, where God the Father is totally, completely loving God the Son and giving everything that he is and all that he has to the Son. And receiving, there's this mutual giving and receiving of love, of person. But what we believe about the Trinity is that God is three persons in one being, a communion of persons. So I'll get back to that. That's what I'm going to end with. But to go into the mystery a little bit, what do we mean when we say God is three, God is one? It's a mystery, we can't fully comprehend it, but we're finite. I'm a finite being. 36 years ago, 37 years ago, I did not exist. God always has been and always will be and is infinite. And so if God is truly infinite, and if you are actually really finite, and if all the stuff that we say we believe is actually true, should we be able to comprehend God? Should God make perfect sense to us? There's no way. Like, there's just no way that a finite being should be able to perfectly comprehend everything about God and that it should make perfect sense. So if this is okay for me to say, it makes sense that it doesn't always make sense. Okay, you're with me. All right. So and that's why we say it's a mystery. Mystery doesn't mean it's completely illogical. It's just complete nonsense. It means I actually do know God. I know some things about him and I can say true things and I can have a relationship with him, but I don't fully comprehend him. I've had a relationship with this person for 30 years, but there's still more that I'm discovering all of the time because I don't fully comprehend this person because this person is my spouse. Or this person is, in any friendship, how much more true of God? And so when we speak of God, we always speak in limited and we speak by analogy. And I'm going to use a couple of analogies, both of which turn into heresies. And I'm sorry, but that's just how it has to be. And I want to know if anybody wants to take the heresy test, then I'm going to ask you questions and you're going to answer. And you might get them wrong and be a heretic in front of everybody. Anybody? Any volunteers?
I'd have to call on somebody.
How about somebody who went to Catholic school? Okay, I'm just getting like, no, Father, no. All right, I'll just ask a question, and if you want to answer, you can answer it. One of the analogies, and I'm using it as an analogy, but it is partialism. That's a heresy. It's not good. Sorry. So, imagine you got a plant that it has roots and a stem and leaves, and that's the whole plant, okay? Not hard to imagine. So, are the roots plant? Is that plant matter? Okay. Is the stem plant matter? Equally plant matter with the roots? What about the leaves? Okay. Are the leaves the stem? Is the stem the roots? Are the roots the leaves? Okay. Is the Father? I just kind of gave it away, didn't I? Is the Father God with a capital G? Is the Son God with a capital G? Is the Holy Spirit equally God with God the Father? Is the Holy Spirit the Son? Is the Son the Father? There you go. Okay, and the Father is not the Holy Spirit. Easy. It's like everybody went to Catholic school. Perfect. So when you see the difference, the distinctness is that they are distinct persons. Now, God is not three parts of the same plant. Like the analogy breaks down, but you can see how there are things that exist in the world that are a trinity, that are three in one. And they're all analogies. One of them is that a chord is three notes. And always three notes?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to commit a musical heresy.
No, there's three notes and then more, give it a little more spice, but mostly three notes.
Oh, you can add more. So that would be kind of like not very Catholic, but yeah. So if you take a three-note chord, you've got three notes in one chord. If you take, there's all sorts of things that we could use and say, oh, that's three, but it's one. That's three, but it's one. Three persons in one being. Really, really is gonna at times not make perfect sense, but it is definitely not, and now here's another heresy. It's not the Father isn't the Son. Okay, the Son isn't the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't either one of the other two, okay? They're distinct persons. It's not as though God is just the same person who sometimes puts on his God the Father mask, like a party mask. He's like, hi, I'm God the Father today. And yes, I'm invisible and, and now, you know what? To reveal myself more, I'm going to put on my Jesus mask. And now I'm God the Son and look, I'm walking on water and it's very nice to wear this mask. And now I'm going to drop this mask and put on the Holy Spirit mask because it's Pentecost and here's some foreign languages and some fire and some wind. And now I'm going to put on, so that's called modalism. As though it's one person, he just has these different modes of revealing himself to us. And it's not true, because we're talking about three different persons. But now I want to get to the part to saying something about the Trinity that does make sense. This part does make sense. You and I, we are created in God's image. One of the things that means is that as persons, we are made for love and for communion and for relationship. And there is no person who's ever existed who would ever be complete in and of him or herself. So if you were existing all by yourself, no other person was around, what would you be in one word? Lonely. Alone, isolated. You'd be lonely. Why? Even though you're physically like you, you're woefully, sadly incomplete. Because you were made for relationship. You were made for love. You were made to give and to receive love. That's one of the things that it means to be in God's image. So thinking of God, not that we want to copy and paste everything about me onto God, but this is one of the things where we understand about the Trinity, that God, as a communion of persons, God is love. And the inner life of the Trinity is a total giving and receiving between the different persons of the Trinity that could not exist if it was just one person wearing different masks. There's no way to, what do? I don't know, love myself or love my masks. It really doesn't work. It's not love unless there's another. Loved as other. And when I say loved as other, that sort of probably sounds like philosophical like talk, but if you love another person as other, you're not just loving them for how they make you feel, although they might make you feel very good, and that's great. But you're loving them for more than that. They're not just sort of revolving around you. And that's how a lot of romantic love begins, right? I love you doesn't mean as much at first. Not that it's meaningless. But it comes to mean more in the times when I love you because I'm for your good. And right now, you don't make me feel good right now, but I still love you because I'm willing and choosing and hoping for your good. And I see that you have different needs than me. You have different wants and desires. And I'm going to respect those in your heart and love you whenever those line up with what's good for you. You know, I want those. And I love you as other, not as just, oh, you help me. You revolve around me. You make me feel good. It's not possible to really think about God the Father loving God the Son unless they're two different persons. And so with us. But as we are invited into this reality of how we were made to give and to receive love. The invitation really is to enter into the life of the Trinity through a relationship with God, through a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And it's a Trinitarian relationship, meaning you're going to have a relationship with Jesus. You're going to have a relationship with the Father, and you're going to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, not as three gods, but as three persons in one being. And as we accept and receive this invitation to have a relationship with the God who is love, we are transformed. That's where we enter into His life. We enter into His love, and our relationships begin to reflect a communion of persons in love. Our families begin to reflect a communion of persons in love. A husband and wife do this in a really cool way, but as a celibate person, myself, or in whatever state of life you find yourself in, we, through our friendships, through our family relationships, in the way that we love other people, we are called to be with them a communion of persons in love. That's what we were made to do. It is only possible through uniting ourselves to the God who is love. It's only possible through Jesus Christ. It's only possible through Him. He's the one through whom we're baptized. That's why He says, baptize them. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, because then and only then are we fully saying yes. And only through Jesus are we even able to say yes to entering into the life of the Trinity. Today, we ask the Lord to be able to enter more deeply into this mystery, not to fully comprehend it, we're never going to, but just to say yes to entering into it. Entering into something that's like, it's a lot bigger than the ocean. You're never going to swim to the bottom of the ocean. You're never going to, you know, even swim across the ocean. But we're not called right now to find the limits, just to enter in, into the inner life of the Trinity, which is beyond what we can comprehend, but it is indeed what we were made for. And through it, we will learn how to truly and authentically love one another.